Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Yes, indeed, it is the Odd Couple. I am Chris. He is Rob. We are coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. You can also follow us on social media. I am at Chris_Broussard on Twitter, ChrisBroussard68 on Instagram. Rob is at RobParkerFS1 on both Twitter and the Gram. We got our friend, good buddy, Antonio Daniels, NBA champion, coming up at the bottom of the hour. That's always a lot of fun. But before we start talking basketball, let's get into some NFL, Rob. And you know our buddy J-Mac, Jason McIntyre, sometimes known as our punching bag here at FS1. He has a new podcast that he actually shares with Rob G called Straight Fire. And they had Charles Robinson, friend of the show, Yahoo Sports NFL reporter, your personal friend of yours. He went on there and he said that there's issues in Green Bay between the Packers and their superstar quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. Here's Robinson.
Well, the thing that's off in Green Bay is that Aaron Rodgers and Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, are not good. Like, they're just not.
Are they bad or are they just not good?
I think they're bad. I think Aaron Rodgers looks at Brian Gutekunst and says, this guy has not shown me. He drafted Jordan Love. I think Aaron Rodgers behind the scenes does not believe Brian Gutekunst believes in him.
Wow.
And does not believe in him as any, and he just won the MVP and he's sitting there and he's going, I should have a general manager who's going, hey, my guy just won the MVP and we got at least a couple good years left here. Let's crank this out and really build around this guy. And instead, I think he feels like Brian Gutekunst is looking at Jordan Love in the future rather than saying the future I already have in 12.
Right.
And let's do what we can with 12 while we have 12.
Wow. He said a mouthful there, Rob. And you know what? From the reports you see, I tend to agree with this. He's not the first one to say this. There's a lot of talk about this. And for me, Rob, this is more evidence that the Green Bay Packers care more about being relevant and being, you know, a good, relevant team than they do about winning Super Bowls. And I think that's plagued them for the last several years, like close to a decade. And they've had the great Aaron Rodgers. And they're always, you know, good and relevant because he's one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. He generally, when he's healthy, keeps them in the playoffs, keeps the fan base thinking we got a shot to win it, keeps the fan base rabid. I mean, it's Green Bay. They're already rabid. But when you actually have a good team, they love it. And I think they haven't gone the extra mile to help him out. And he hadn't been perfect. He's had his issues, too, in the NFC championship games. I'm not saying he's been perfect. But he hasn't gotten the help he needs. Jordan Love, the drafting of him, was another example. And now, when you got him playing as well as he probably ever has, instead of locking him up, we got a good coach. We got a lot of great pieces. Let's go all in. We saw Tampa Bay go all in. They added all types of people to help Brady and win a Super Bowl, and they did. Green Bay's not doing that. And to me, it's because we're relevant with Aaron. We got Jordan Love. We think he'll be the next guy, and he'll keep us relevant for another 10, 12 years as well. That's what I think. This is the latest evidence that they have not done right by Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I can't prescribe to what you're saying about being relevant. It's Green Bay, Wisconsin. There's nothing else there. People have always showed up there regardless, Chris, when they were winning championships, when they were in a drought and they didn't win, people packed the place. So I don't think that that's about being relevant. When you own a town or a region like that, that's not the issue. I just don't think that they've had – I think that they've needed a strong owner to push – it's a unique situation. It's a franchise that doesn't have an owner that's technically owned by the fans or stockholders, but they really don't own stock in the team. It's more you bought shares, but you really don't own stock. It's more
have any decision making
right,
power.
Like there's no stockholder meeting, and you could say we're going to fire the coach or hire a general manager. It's more like symbolic. It's like a symbolic
but
ownership when you buy money.
But they do have a decision maker.
Yeah, but I just think that they've been wrong. They've always done things the same way. A couple of years ago when they played Seattle, the I don't think that was their call for the tight end to mishandle the onside kick. I mean, they were going to go to the Super Bowl that year. They've had chances. They've had bad defenses. They've tried to have a team without any free agents because this is the Green Bay Packers way, where everybody on the team was drafted through that. That didn't work. They tried to sign some free agents. I'm just saying, I just think there's been bad decisions made, obviously, but I don't think it's like they don't want to win. This is a proud organization that's won a lot, especially on early on, have had great players. I think they want to win. I don't know if the people pulling the strings or making the decisions, Chris, are good, but I don't think it's an organizational, well, we don't want to win, we just want to be relevant. I don't believe anybody in pro sports buys into that. I don't think that's why you get into it. Because
right by Aaron Rodgers?
I just think they make bad decisions. I don't think that they really, I would say that, because it's not the same people. There's other general manager before that got fired. I mean,
right now.
So,
I mean, how do you explain the way things are going with Aaron Rodgers?
I'm saying I think that they aren't really a good front office. They don't really know what they're doing. This is the NFL. Everybody, just because you're a general manager doesn't mean you know what you're doing. There are teams that the Lions haven't never made the Super Bowl. They've changed GMs and coaches 40 times, and nothing's changed. So there's a lot of guys out there who are in these jobs who are no good at it, who are just no good. And the same handful of teams seem to win or have a chance to win, and a lot don't. Jerry Jones, you think Jerry Jones, he could be in that class of just being relevant, right?
Oh,
they're
no.
relevant.
No, he's clearly trying to win.
He's trying to win, but they don't win, and they haven't won in 25 years.
Right.
So what do you say to Jerry Jones?
He makes some bad decisions.
That's what I'm saying.
I think the Green Bay, I mean, you said they keep doing things the same way. If it's not working, why don't you switch up a little bit?
No, I get it, but I don't think that I don't think that the
when I say they don't want to win, Rob, I'm not saying they want to be. I'm actually saying the opposite of them wanting to be not caring if they go 5-11. I think they're like, look, we want to. They were irrelevant when you and I were growing up for the most part. The Green Bay Packers were off the map, and then they got Brett Favre, and then they had their nice run, and then it continued with Aaron Rodgers. And I think they're afraid of falling off the map again. And Green Bay, yeah, they might draw fans there. But if that team's no good, they will fall off the map. And if they and I think they're more concerned with we rather just stay 11 wins every season, 12 wins. Sure, they like to win a Super Bowl. But my point is they're not going all out, I don't believe. I think
I think you were talking about the idea. If they just wanted to be relevant,
well, what do you think I meant by relevant?
They didn't have to re-sign Aaron Jones. They have another guy who could have replaced him without re-signing Aaron Jones. They re-signed him. They didn't have to. They had his replacement right there, much cheaper, and they decided to keep him for what they have. I'm not saying they made all the right moves, Chris. I'm telling you, I think that they're not the smartest organization.
They're trying to win the
Super Bowl. But I don't believe that they just want to be relevant. And you know what? All of these general managers now, we see it. They all want to restart the clock with guys they draft. They don't care. Aaron Rodgers is no different from Tom Brady, who had to move on, to Peyton Manning, who had to move on, to Joe Montana, who had to move on. to all these guys. That's what they do in this league, and I don't think it's anything different on how they're treating Aaron Rodgers. They sent Joe Montana. Oh, no, we got your guy right here, Joe. Thanks for the 4 Super Bowl. 4-0, 11 touchdown, no picks. Thanks. Appreciate it. Steve Young sitting right here. Thank you very much. So if I'm Aaron Rodgers, what's any different from that? That guy won 4 Super Bowls, and he didn't get to finish his career. And they were ready to move him out every chance they got. So I just think it's the NFL. I think it's the NFL.
Nah, I mean, Tom Brady won 6 Super Bowls in New England. That type of winning can make you, you know what, Jerry Krause said it in Chicago, Jordan got them 6 rings. They were ready to move on. Like, look, let's build it ourselves. They were winning so much. Joe Montana, 4 Super Bowls, and you had a great quarterback in way. You knew Steve Young. We all knew Steve Young was ready and going to be great. So those were different situations. Peyton Manning, somewhat similar, although he was injured. You know, he had the neck
injury. He played great. He played great for Denver.
But I mean, you didn't know he was coming back like that. Like, he was hurt, and when they moved on to Andrew Luck, so they haven't won enough with Rodgers. So they certainly can't be tired of winning Super Bowls.
I didn't say that.
My point was that Rodgers at the top of his game.
Being relevant. I don't think that's true.
What do you think I mean by being relevant?
You just think like they don't care whether they win or not. I don't buy into that. They might not win, but I don't believe that.
What do you think I mean by being relevant?
No, what you're insinuating without saying it is that they don't care if they win or not, and I don't believe that that's...
No, I'm not saying that. I'll define what I'm saying. By being relevant, I said it earlier, being relevant is making the playoffs just about every year or every year. Winning 11 games, having a chance. You're a contender, which they've been. But I don't think they've gone the extra mile, whether it was strengthening the defense, whether it's adding more receivers, whatever. Heck, you drafted a quarterback when you got one of the best quarterbacks in the league already. And so that's what I mean. Relevant is not 7-9. I don't mean that. I mean you're making the playoffs year after year. You've got a chance to win it, and your fans believe you can win it.
The way you're looking at it and the way we're talking about it is just different. I think that they want to win. I'm not so sure if they know how to win, to make it right, or to get there. I think that if they had an owner who had a little more control, who was really like trying to make sure the organization is right, I think they might have a better shot. Or Aaron Rodgers could go to somebody who has ultimate power. Not the GM, not other people who are hired by a board, but at the actual owner, I think it might be different. All right. 877-99 on Fox is the telephone number. If you want to chime in, do you believe the Green Bay Packers are more concerned with being relevant or winning a Super Bowl? We'll continue the conversation with you next. It is The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. Stick and stay,
America!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. It is The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio on a Trash Talking Tuesday. Don't forget, in the next hour, it's your chance to trash anyone or anything in the world of sports. So that'll be we'll turn the radio show over to you. 877-99 on Fox is the telephone number. Chris is having some technical difficulties, but he'll rejoin the show. So right now we're all talking about the Packers. And the question out there is, are you concerned that are the Packers more concerned about being relevant than winning a Super Bowl? What do you think it is? Let's kick it off with Keith in New Orleans. You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Keith?
Man.
What's up?
Nothing much. Listen, I think they're more concerned with being relevant. And I say that because they never get the guy in free agency. You know,
they signed Reggie White. Do you remember that? That's when they won their Super Bowl. They've done it before.
Right. And that was 20-some-odd years ago.
Saying you said that they never get the big guy. He was the biggest free agent available, and they got him to go to Green Bay. Dude, I'm not saying that their front office is great. I'm not. But they did. They did. They have done and gone out. They could have let Aaron Jones walk, correct?
Rob, he took a pay cut. He could have made more money on the free market.
But they didn't have to sign him at all.
Come on. Uncle Rob, are you serious?
Yes. They have a running. Don't they have a three-headed monster there? I'm just saying if they wanted to play cheap.
Aaron Jones is a top seven running back. You can't just let that guy walk.
They do it all the time in the NFL. It's not just about Aaron Jones. I'm just talking about the way the NFL does its business, Keith. It's not about Aaron Jones. They do it all the time. A lot of teams, when they don't want to pay people, they do it. I'm with you.
But they're not trying to actually win. They're more focused on being relevant long-term, like draft a guy who can't even help you with a first-round pick and trade.
How does that make you relevant when you don't even know if he could play or not? Are you sure he can play, Jordan Love?
But you did the same thing with Aaron Rodgers, and they thinking they have a recipe. And that's all I'm saying, Rob. So I don't know how, you know, drafting Jordan Love helps them win the Super Bowl.
I don't believe teams are trying to be relevant. That doesn't make any sense to me. What is being relevant means? I would rather win one championship over 20 years than to be relevant for 20 years and never win. I would rather win one championship. That's me. Thanks, Keith. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Brandon in Dallas, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What you got?
Hey, what's up, Rob? I hope you're having a great day.
Yes, sir. How are you, buddy?
Doing great, doing great. Great to talk to you.
Yes.
And, man, about the Green Bay Packers, man, historically, they've been one of the more conservative franchises. They usually don't swing for the fences, although they have gotten guys, like you said, Reggie White.
Right. When they got Reggie White, you remember that. That was huge.
Yeah. Yeah, and Charles Woodson was great for them, won a Super Bowl.
Yes. There you go.
But they have been conservative, but I think, call me naive, but I think the past few years they've wanted to make some real moves, but I think they're hindered by Aaron Rodgers' salary cap hitting his contract. I think if he really wants to be great and really wants to put his name in the books, take a page out of Tom Brady's book and maybe take a little bit less and get some more players around him.
See, I disagree with that. You have to be able to make it work. I don't believe.
Well, what about 20% of the salary cap?
Yeah, but that's what a lot of these quarterbacks who have played. I just don't agree with that.
Russell Wilson is great too, and he hasn't won very much since he got a big deal.
Yeah, but I don't think that's because just giving a team a discount doesn't mean that they know how to spend the money, Brandon. That's what I disagree with. There are bad general managers. The whole premise of the NFL is that everybody has the same money to spend, right? Isn't that the premise
of
it?
Yeah, but the last decade of Super Bowl winners, it's either a rookie or it's either a guy on a rookie deal or a veteran that's not making top 3% of the money at his position.
No, but my point is there are plenty of teams who can spend the same amount of money who have no shot at winning. It just doesn't work that way. You got to be a little bit lucky, and you got to be fortunate to get in a situation like that. But I don't think it's automatic. That's just me. Marty in Kentucky, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Marty?
What's up, fellas? I hate to beat a dead horse here, but Brandon made a lot of points that I was going to make. I think Green Bay's trying to win. They play in a city called Titletown. I don't think that their goal to win Super Bowls will ever change. But I believe that they understand that there are formulas to win right now. And if you look historically in modern football, it's either a quarterback on a rookie contract or a veteran quarterback that has took a team-friendly deal. I think the NFL overall, they pay quarterbacks too much.
Did Kansas City win last year with the deal that he gave
They got there.
Did they win the Super Bowl?
But who got there? Two teams with quarterbacks with team-friendly deals.
And then what happened? Did the Chiefs cut players this year because they couldn't pay them?
The Chiefs are going to be title contenders for the next 10 years.
I'm just asking you, did they cut players? Did they cut some offensive linemen? I'm asking you, Marty, that's all. Did they cut anybody? Because supposedly they had it all set up where if Mahomes took less, they'd have money for people. All I know is they've made cuts, haven't they?
They had some cuts, but they also had injuries in that O-line before that Super Bowl.
Okay. All right, we'll see. I don't think that that's the reason why. I think that they just haven't spent the money correctly. They haven't done all the right things. And I blame maybe a poor front office. But I don't believe that teams don't want to win the Super Bowl. It's hard for me. I don't care what team you are. Let's go to Ralph. Oh, okay. Ralph in Florida, you're on the iCouple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Ralph?
Hey, man, how you doing, Rob?
Doing good. How are you?
Good, brother. So, listen, for me, I'm a Knicks fan, unfortunately, and I'm also a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, and I'm never going to have a good product because they're always going to sell out their arenas. Green Bay's got over 130,000 people on the waiting list for season tickets.
Right.
Why are they going to spend money when all their jobs are protected because they're going to sell out the house? It's money-making opportunity for stockholders. They got shareholders in that team. That's what's up.
But I don't disagree, and you see that the same thing. The Knicks, people keep showing up, right? No frustration, not letting the owner know that they're not happy. The Maple Leafs, when was the last time they won the Cup? In the 60s? When was the last time they won the Cup?
Rob, I was born in 1972. I've never seen a championship. I'm a Dolphins fan, Indians fan, Knicks fan, and Leafs fan.
Oh, my God. Am I right? What year was the Leafs? Was it 60-something? When did they last win?
I was like 62, maybe.
It's been a long time. Right, and that even seems
It's a sellout every game, just like the Knicks. So why spend the money?
Yeah. All right, I hear you. I appreciate it, Ralph. Thanks for the support. Thanks for the call. All right, we're gonna switch gears and talk a little NBA with our man Antonio Daniels. We'll do that next. He joins us, but first.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It is The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios here on a Trash Talking Tuesday. Chris Broussard still down with some issues, but we welcome in. That's right, Antonio Daniels, the NBA champion, Pelicans color analyst, Sirius XM NBA radio host. You could get him on Twitter at adaniels33. Antonio, what's happening? How are you?
I'm good, Rob. How you doing, brother? You doing all
right? Man, yes, doing well. Chris is having some technical issues back in New Jersey, so they're working on that. But me and you could chop it up a little bit, talk some NBA, and get some insight. Let's start with Kevin Durant's return. They blew out Minnesota today in the afternoon game, which was a makeup because the game in Minnesota was postponed last night. But he has come out of the box balling big time. What do you make of his return? And has he exceeded your expectations?
No, he hasn't exceeded my expectations. It's almost to be expected. Because here's the thing that you know about Kevin Durant. About a week back, a week and a half ago, they said that if it was a playoff game, Kevin Durant could have played. Basically implying that he was ready to go for quite some time now. But what happens is when you're winning basketball games with Kyrie Irving and with James Harden, there's no reason to rush him back. There's no reason to rush him back. It's a completely different case and scenario possibly if they're struggling and they're dropping in the standings. But right now where Brooklyn is sitting, especially without Kevin Durant and the fact that they were winning games at a very, very high clip, there was no reason to rush him back. So he's been ramping up for quite some time now. So when he hit the floor running against us, and did not miss a shot, you knew it was going to be business as usual. It was just a matter of time.
No doubt. I'm with you. I think that he could have come back, and they just said, take your time, get all the way back, and get healthy. Let me ask you, Jamal Murray, obviously and out indefinitely with that torn ACL. And Antonio, I mean, we can't got players get hurt all the time in this league, so I'm not going to sit here and act like I know what's going on and I'm a doctor or anything, but let's just be honest. The players had a short rest, turnaround, AD's hurt, LeBron's hurt. I mean, we could go around the league. A lot of guys have gotten hurt, and now Jamal Murray. Is there anything to that, or this is just basketball?
I mean, here's the thing. I don't know if there's anything to it, but the question that I would ask is, like, we can't have our cake and eat it too. And what I mean by that is when there was no basketball, everybody was talking about getting back on the floor. Mm-hmm. Like, man, we got to have some basketball. We got to get back on the floor. And then the NBA worked it out with the Players Association to get back on the floor. And now, like, for me, I'm not in favor of blaming anyone. Because what happens is when you're going through a season where you have a condensed training camp, a shortened off season, a condensed regular season, the Pelicans, we just play 8 games in 12 days. But what's the alternative? Wow. You know, what's the alternative? You see teams now that are sitting guys out and being overly cautious with guys to try and prevent this. So often what we're seeing, which in games that are supposed to be quote-unquote marquee matchups, is they're not marquee matchups because stars are sitting out because of what we're dealing with. So we're in a situation now where it's almost like we have to take the league right now and the way these games are coming as they are. Like, I don't know how many conversations I've had with people when it's like, oh, well, anytime you turn on a game, nobody's playing. But then somebody gets hurt, and it's like, oh, well, they're playing too many games. Well, what is it that we want? Right. It's the question that I would ask.
How about today there was some comments by Luka and Cuban that ripped the NBA's play-in tournament concept. What do you make of that? I'm not that big of a fan of play-in games. I think if you play, you know, to reward teams – who play mediocre during the regular season and give them a chance to make the playoffs. I don't get that. But, you know, I understand this is a business. They want more playoff games and make more money, trying to make up the couple billion dollars they lost over the last year and a half. But where are you on the play-in? Why are we not – why are we going away from the top eight teams just making the playoffs?
Okay, let me ask you a question, Rob, because we had this conversation on our radio show today. And I love Mark Cuban. I love him. Do you think that Mark Cuban and Luka would have an issue with the play-in game if they were in fourth place?
Probably not. Probably not. Yep.
Right.
I understand that. So, but I get it. But let me just say this. And before you – my issue is you don't want to make the regular season meaningless. You got to be careful. If that's the case, if it's just about – everybody making these playoff games, then let the whole league play. If it's about making getting playoff money and playing, then why would the regular season matter?
But the thing is, it's not meaningless. It's not meaningless because it's not meaningless regardless. I'll give you an example. I'll use our team, the Pelicans, as an example. You know, right now, we're a game behind Golden State for 10th place, right? So would the playoffs be better with Steph Curry in it? Would the playoffs be better with Zion Williamson in it? And there are sometimes where there are unforeseen circumstances that happen. You talked about the amount of injuries. What happened to the Washington Wizards where their team gets hit by COVID and they have to deal with it for a huge portion of the season? So sometimes it's unforeseen circumstances. And for me, one of the reasons that I like it is because guys are getting a taste of meaningful basketball, whether or not you make it or not. Because right now, every game that the Pelicans are playing, every game that Golden State is playing, every game that Sacramento's playing, Washington is playing, all these teams that are playing for 9th and 10th are meaningful games as far as experience is concerned. I understand the way the NBA has always looked with 1 through 8, but I get it. I get it. Would I have had an issue with it if they would have said there's no play-in tournament, we'll keep it 1 through 8? No. But the league has evolved in a number of different ways to make it more entertaining for the viewer. Think about the rules now. You can't touch a guy. There's no contact.
Right.
It's up to contest.
It's a foul, right.
So So everything is about entertaining the viewer. And I don't have an issue with it for the experience aspect. And sometimes teams aren't good enough to get in that top eight. That's just the fact of the matter. And it's all about peaking at the right time of the season. So if you play well enough to get into seventh or whatever it may be, then win your game. Win your game, and then you don't have to worry about it.
Our guest, Antonio Daniels, here on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio, of course, NBA champion, Pelicans analyst, and also Sirius XM NBA radio show host. And Steph Curry passed Wilt Chamberlain, franchise lead in scoring. What'd you make of Steph putting another cap as the all-time leading scorer for the Warriors?
I tell you what I find amazing is how he's done it. That's, to me, you know, when you look at Wilt Chamberlain physically and how physically imposing and dominant that he was, they had to change the game, the rules of the game for him. He revolutionized the game back then. And now Steph, as physically imposing as he isn't, he has completely changed the game as well. And I think one of the most underrated things about Steph Curry, so now I'll still play pickup ball, and I'll go to gyms, and I'll see, you know, people working out with their kids. And all these kids want to shoot 30-foot shots, logo shots, because they see Steph Curry do it, because they see Damian Lillard do it, and Trae Young. And what I tell kids all the time, don't look at the long shot. Look at the movement off the ball. The condition that you have to be in to be able to do what he does, people see the handle, people see the set shot, people see the logo shots. They don't see the fact that he never stops moving off of the basketball. So just the way that he was able to pass Wilt Chamberlain, to me, is so incredibly impressive.
What the other thing I wanted to ask you, and I just lost my train of thought, the Lakers and Andre Drummond, they beat Brooklyn. That was kind of like a fluky game. Brooklyn missed 0-for-15 from three. You know, Drummond made all the shots. Then they go play the Knicks two nights later or whatever and look terrible, and he had 6 points. What do you make of that and Drummond? I mean, I think people went off the handle. Oh, the Lakers have a formula to beat the Nets. You know what I mean? And I was like, I don't think there was a formula there. I think it was a bad night, and Drummond played really well.
Right. There were a lot of prisoners of the moment after that night.
Yes.
And what I said about that game was Brooklyn, now in the East, is no longer the hunter. Now they are the hunted. So teams, Brooklyn is going to receive whoever they are playing, they're going to receive their best shot.
They know it. If they don't play well against them or come out ready to play, they're going to get run out the gym. Am I right?
Right. So what I said on our show is it'll be interesting to see if the Lakers take the same mentality to New York when they played the Knicks that they had against Brooklyn. And they didn't. You know why? Because the Knicks don't have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and James Harden and LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin. So it's a difference. And what you're seeing with the Lakers right now, which is tough, because, again, you give them a pass because they're without their Batman and their Robin. Hey, we're talking about Jamal Murray. They're Denver's without their Robin, and they don't stand a chance now being without Jamal Murray. They don't stand a chance. So the Lakers, being without their Batman and their Robin, who both happen to be top five in this league, we have to kind of give them a pass. But I didn't put much onus into that game versus the Brooklyn Nets. None at all.
I'm with you. Always a pleasure, my man. Antonio Daniels, always joining us here on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. Talk to you soon, bro. Stay well.
For sure, brother. Tell Chris I said hello.
I will do that, no doubt. All right, a World Series favorite is on the verge of making a colossal mistake. That's right, you heard it here first. We'll get into that next. It is the Odd Couple on Fox Sports Radio. Stick and stay,
America!
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It is the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio, Rob Parker, Chris Broussard. Chris having some technical difficulties, but we roll on. Hopefully he'll be able to join us in the final hour of the program. And we're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And let's talk a little Major League Baseball. Rob G, are you around or are you jumping in?
Rob, I am always around when you need me. You know
all
that.
Right, I need you right now. But let Rob G, you know I keep an eye on baseball, and I love watching Fernando Tatis play, right? I was kind of bummed out when he hurt his shoulder, said he tore a labrum in his left shoulder, right, taking a big swing.
Right.
And we thought he was going to be out for a couple of months. Wasn't that the original reports, right, that it could be a couple months?
That's what I had heard. I heard 2 to 3 months.
Now, our friend Bob Nightingale from USA Today, he tweeted today, and now his story's circulating, that they saw Tatis taking some BP in Pittsburgh today before the game, looked good doing it, and there's talk that Fernando Tatis could be back Friday when they host the Dodgers for a big 3-game series. Rob G, I can't wait. I love to watch it because the Padres are 8-3 and the Dodgers are 8-2, right? It's been great so far, right, these two? But I got to be honest. I think they're rushing this kid back.
Oh, no question. And it's unbelievably short-sighted. Now, I can't say exactly what his injury is because, you know, we don't have his medical records.
Right. We're but not doctors.
When Cody Bellinger injured his shoulder initially and he dislocated it several times, a lot of Twitter
remember
doctors.
Remember, one was a celebration. You
yeah,
remember he
yeah, exactly.
jumped up?
Yeah. And there were a few doctors who went on social media and said, hey, without looking at his records, I can almost promise you he also has a torn labrum in addition to the shoulder popping out. He required surgery after the season. It was a 10-week recovery.
Right.
So for San Diego to decide that, hey, we're just going to stick him out there. You know, he may re-aggravate it. He may not. But we're just going to, you know, let it happen. It's way too early in the season to be making this kind of decision.
And I say this right now. If they were playing the Texas Rangers on Friday night, do you think he would be in the lineup? Seriously.
Oh, hell no.
This is about the you know, the Dodgers have rearranged their pitching rotation so that they pitch their top three pitchers against the Padres this weekend? Are we 2 weeks into the season?
It's crazy. It's crazy. And Rob, you know, it's kind of parallel to what something that you and I had talked about a couple months ago when Anthony Davis got hurt with the Lakers and LeBron James suddenly started playing 38, 40 minutes a night.
Yep.
You know, trying to win these games. And we said then with the Lakers, your goal is much bigger than the one seed. Your goal is much bigger than a few games in January.
Yep.
The Padres, Dodgers, are one of these teams that has legitimate World Series aspirations.
They picked up Musgrove, right, from the Pirates?
Right.
He pitched a no-hitter already this season for them. They got a great pitching rotation. You know they got the lineup, Machado. Why can't they hold it, you know what I mean? Just hold steady until he gets back.
Exactly.
This just seems way too early. And don't get me wrong. Friday night, will I be at my TV set trying to watch the Dodgers and Padres? Yes, I will.
Of course you will.
I will.
With a thing of hot wings and some lettuce and some Kraft singles cheese with ranch dressing.
Yes, you already and a Diet Coke.
And a Diet Coke.
You already know, right? I want to see him play. Don't get me wrong, but I don't want this kid to be damaged. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Long term.
And this is what doesn't make sense to me. Like I could see maybe if you're like, you know, the Rockies, the Diamondbacks, we're like, hey, if we get into the postseason, it's a good year for us.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so where every game does count. That Padres roster is good enough where they could weather the storm
right
for 6 to 8 weeks and make sure he's back 100%. Because I promise you, for the Padres to get to where they want to go and where you picked them to go, which is the World Series, they need Tatis Jr. to be 100% for 70% of the season versus 70% for 100% of the season.
I 100%. I just – I love the guy. I think he is a star. Just the swag, everything, the way he approaches the game. I love all that stuff. But I want him to be healthy. I'll be shocked watching him Friday if it does happen. So this is interesting. But there it is. That'll be a big showdown Friday night in San Diego. I wish I could take the train down there or get down there for a game or two this weekend. But that's not going to happen. All right, the final hour of the program is heading your way. It is the Odd Couple on a Trash Talking Tuesday. Stick and stay.
Amen.